I'm going to have to explain the chair and everything, and everybody's going to want to know, so let me just tell you what's happened. In Louisiana, I decided to jump off a step, and it didn't work real good. Rolled my foot and bit concrete. I got up, realized that I had sprained my ankle, so I thought, and got on the airplane, came home. Saturday night, I had a sermon ready, getting ready to come in here and preach, and had a good day up until that day, but all of a sudden my foot started hurting really, really bad. And I knew what that meant because I used to own a horse. It's not the first time I've been with anything broken, and I know what it feels like. And it usually doesn't hit you till the next day. And I kind of iced it all night. And then I told Lisa, I said, just tell Justin he's preaching. And I finally went to sleep about time y'all were worshiping God. And went and got it x-rayed. It's definitely broken. But people ask me sometimes, and I know that you think that if you're a person of faith, you don't have any trouble. What happened to Paul? That's condemnation. Let me tell you something. You live in the world. You know, you're going. You know, it's just when someone has and there's a broken step and you miss it, stuff happens, and you don't cry about it and blame God and then start asking questions. Why did it happen to me? Well, it don't matter. It happened. And then you just believe the best. So I went home and I prayed about it, and the Lord said, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And the only thing I did was spend all day singing. I just been singing. Hadn't been doing anything else, just singing. And it's been getting a whole lot better. Now, I had to, because Lisa and I are still going to Colorado. And I had to buy shoes, and I thought, how is that going to work? And the doctor said, well, go buy a size 12 tennis shoe for the left and your regular. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. That looks goofy. And it's bad enough to look goofy without adding to helping it. So I went down to Lisa's favorite shoe store and found out that Jews wear socks under their sandals. Yeah, and that's how they keep their feet warm even in the winter. And I thought, okay, if the Jews can do it and Jesus did it, I can do it. So I bought those kind that strap so that as my foot goes down, right now it's about the double size, as it goes down, the sandal will fit. But in the meantime, I can make adjustments, and so that's what I'm doing. Amen? So I'm a happy as a dog with a T-bone steak and ready to go. And you know, Justin looked at me, and rightly so, he said, Dad, if your foot was broken, you wouldn't be walking. I said, you don't know your dad. I have a real high pain tolerance. I mean, it's huge. If I tell you I hurt, it's bad. And I've only checked myself in the hospital twice. And one of them, you know, the doctor said, you're almost dead. And I went, I told you. I found out I don't count at all joy in a hospital. They don't, bad time to be worshiping the Lord. They don't take you real serious. But anyway, never mind. That's enough. So y'all ready to get in the Word? Amen. Amen. I'm ready to give it to you. I got something I want to do. I got something I want to share with you. I'm praying over you. I want you as a church to make the adjustments and grow. I want you to grow, and I want to cover something tonight because, well, anyway, I'll explain that to you. Go to Genesis chapter 3, and then as you're turning, and once you get there, I'm going to pray over us as a congregation tonight. And everybody watching online, I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for tonight, and I'm asking you as we open the Word of God. This is revelation knowledge. This is revealed truth. You said in the Word of God, we know truth, truth set us free. Father, there's a lot of questions we ask, a lot of things that need to be answered, but you've already answered them, and I'm going to ask you to give us a revelation so we can move forward. We can move on. We don't have to stay where we are, and we'll know what to do and when to do and how to do and how to operate in the world we're living in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 3:1, and my sermon, no, not 3, yeah, 3:1, is called The Biggest Lie. I don't know whether that's up there or not. It's called The Biggest Lie. I want to talk about the lie Satan told Eve. And I'm having I have a reason, because it's not the last time he ever lied. Okay? But I think there's a lot we need to learn from it. Now, let me get ahead of myself. In this church that I pastor, that we go to, we are not like everyone else. That doesn't mean we're better. We are smarter. But we are different. When you walk in those doors, there's a difference in what I preach. And you need to know what it is and why. We get a lot of new people in here. Lisa and I were talking to someone the other day, and Mark Hankins blew their mind. You want to look at a person who looks like a rabbit in a beagle pen. I mean, I'm looking at people, and they're like, they don't know whether to make it for the door or not. But you know, a lot of people don't know what you know. They know nothing at all. And I want to go over what we believe, why we believe, and et cetera, et cetera. But in the meantime, we got to come back to the book of beginnings on where all of this began to begin with. So 3:1, it says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hath God indeed said? Now think about this for a minute. He has not changed. So I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to never forget what you hear tonight. I don't mean you remember everything I preach, but I remember the gist of it. Never, never, never forget it. He will always question God's integrity to you. Do you understand that? And when you hear it, don't voice it. Don't tell me what the devil is telling you. I'm not going to tell you when he's talking to me, and he talks to all of us. This is not something that happened. This is something that happens. So he says this, listen, has God indeed said, and you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we can eat the trees of the fruit of the garden, but the fruit in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Not already she's wrong. I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to go there. In verse 2:17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. And the day you eat it, you'll surely die. He didn't tell Adam you couldn't touch the tree. She kind of Pentecostal on him and went ahead and said, don't even touch the girl. You know, and I say this in jest. When people are getting married, I say, you now kiss her. We know you're swapping spit before that day. Okay. But I'm telling you, there are Pentecostal doctrines that did not come out of the Bible. Thank you. It's okay to kiss a couple times before the day you get in your mind. That's not in my notes. I just thought y'all need to know that. You can eat the fruit, but in the middle of the garden, nor can you touch it lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. It's called a lie. He lied. She's listening. Now listen to what she does. And I want you to understand, you are going to go through the same scenarios in life. For God knows the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, you'll know good and evil. That's a part truth. You know, there's no reason for you to feed someone poison. You really need to put it in a steak. If you're going to kill the dog next door, you got to put the poison in dog food. Satan's not ever going to just feed you a bald-faced lie. He's going to plant it in something that there's an element of truth to it. That's why it's you got to know that you know some stuff. Okay. And when the woman saw the tree. Now, here's the clincher. Did God say the tree was ugly? And nothing, there's no indication that because it would kill you, it was ugly. So let's talk about deer hunting for a minute. You're not going to kill that pretty deer, are you? Well, you eat ugly cows. Why is it okay to kill a cow because it's ugly and a deer is pretty? Do you pick your friends like that? Oh, we don't like them. They're ugly. The woman next door might be pretty. That doesn't mean that you leave her alone. Don't touch her either. Don't shout me down. Now, let's go down this list. The woman saw the tree was good for food. Did you know that's probably true? Devil's not talking to her. She's just looking at the tree. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's true. And a tree desirable to make you wise. That might be true. He didn't say all those things weren't true. What did he say? No. No. You know how, you know the reason why we think that sometimes God lied? Because we can't understand why in the world he would say, I mean, why did you tell me that? I mean, look at the circumstances. They're all perfect. Don't shout me down. Mark Hankins had brought a girl home one time. Nice to look at, nice to touch, and good to eat. And her mom said, no way. She'll kill you. She said, you might get what you want, not want what you got. Just because they're pretty don't mean much enough. Pretty ends real quick. So does handsome. All right, I'm meddling. But you can't judge what God said by the way things look. And you have to learn that. There's a lot of things that look good. But if he said no, say it. No. He didn't say leave that ugly, bitter, nasty old tree alone. He said leave that tasty, beautiful tree alone. You know, I've never been tempted by a woman unless my marriage was falling apart and the devil has never sent me an ugly one. They're all 36, 24, 36, drop dead, gorgeous, and the whole nine yards. No. Say no. It's still no. Okay. Y'all are getting this. She took its fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband standing right there. And he ate, and the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and began to eat leaves at the mall and made themselves covering. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden to cool the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Why? They're in sin. They're guilty. And the Lord God said to Adam, where are you? It's not like God was looking for him. Like, he was here a minute ago. Now, where did that guy run off to? When God looks at you and says, where are you? It's not that he's asking a question he doesn't have the answer. He's asking you a question to see if you have the answer. And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I'm naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman. the woman. And we're going to get into this a little deeper. But let me explain something to you. Everybody that disobeys God has someone else they're upset at about it. I'm a victim. No, you're not. No one made you disobey God. You did it all by yourself. And the faster you and I grab that, the faster we're going to move forward. All right, we're going to get more into that in a minute. Satan said, you can't trust God. He told you a lie. Satan has never stopped questioning God's integrity, so I have a question. Can we trust him? Yes, we can. Everything you're dealing with right now, everything you're dealing with, and me too, I'm not preaching at you, I'm talking to us. Everything we deal with is based on the integrity of God. Everything you're going to deal with in this earth. Now, let me make a statement to you. Please do not ask other people's opinions when you already know what to do. And because everyone else agrees with you doesn't make you right. You're going to eat the fruit of wrong choices even if everyone is wrong with you. Quit relying. Everyone in my church, I don't care if everyone in America agrees with you. The majority is called democracy. Law is called republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the republic. We're not mob rule. You know why you call America democracy? Because every jackass on TV calls it a democracy in order to get you to think it is. All they got to do is say something to you 100,000 times, and the next thing you know, everybody's calling America a democracy. It never has been a democracy. It's a republic. We run our nation by the laws that are on the books, not by public opinion. I didn't mean to get off on all that. I said that word, and I know y'all thought I was cussing, but I could have said elephant. Never mind. I'm trying to justify myself. Go to Titus 1:2, and I want to show you something in the Bible. In hope of eternal life, which God who what? Say it again. 100% impossible that he is ever told a lie. Now, you must believe that. You and I must. God does not have a 99.9% track record on truth. He has never told a lie, and he's incapable of doing it. You see, whenever you're talking about faith in God, questions arise because you're doubting his integrity, because a voice is speaking, did he say? Truth is not truth because you understand it. And let me prove something to you. Every person that has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, every 100% of them took it by raw faith and spoke in tongues. They read in Luke 11, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. And they went, amen. And then it says in Acts 2:4, you'll speak in tongues. And they said, amen. And then by raw faith, you spoke in tongues. And then and only then did you understand it. The ones who don't believe in it are waiting to understand it to decide whether God told the truth or not. God will never meet you on those terms. The gospel is foolish. You mean I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again, and if I confess him as Lord, I'm saved? Okay. Ask me whether that even made any sense. It did not. You took it with raw faith. As you've grown, you look back and go, well, that makes all sense in the world. I mean, I completely understand that. Well, you understand. Yeah, well, that's because you've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt. Everything God will ever do in your life, he'll give you a scripture and you'll go, that don't make sense. I'm going to prove it to you. Just hold on. Just bear with me as I get on my bandwagon. You have $100. You take 10 out and you give it away and you'll get richer. We have people in this church, no condemnation, and they will say, I can't afford that. And I go, okay. Because, that, you know, I can count. 100 minus 10 is 90. That's less money than I had before I came in here this morning. You have to believe, given it shall be given, which raw faith in God. And you say, how? And you go, I haven't got any idea. But no one has ever done that didn't fight with it when they started. That's the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. This is going to separate you from people as a Christian. It doesn't make you bad, but you understand, do not be ugly with your relatives. They're not where you are, but I just told you why they're not where you are. They're going to have to take a step of faith, and it'll be raw. God said, really? People who tithe, you couldn't beat them and make them quit. Because they now have a revelation they gained. That's called revelation knowledge. That knowledge had to come from the Holy Ghost, because it in the natural, it's stupid to believe that giving $10 makes you wealthier. This is where y'all's fight is. Fight the good fight of what? This is where, I'm doing good. This is where your fight is. All right, now I got another scripture here. John 8:44. Let's turn over there. Turn over. You're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do, and he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no, how much truth's in him? He is incapable. He has never, ever, ever said anything true. Never. He's incapable of it. Okay. I'm doing better than y'all. Amen. John 10:10. Put John 10:10 up there first. So we're talking about God versus the devil. Now you understand that in the world today, you have two voices. There's two voices in the world. God's and the devil. God and the devil. God and the devil. And I'm going to read something to you. Everything Satan's ever been able to do in you, in your life, began with a lie. And he has had inroads into all of us. So don't you look at me like some sort of holy Mother Teresa. I don't want to see it. Every one of us have at some point bought a lie. Like, dang, I wish I hadn't done that. All right. Everything God has ever been able to do in your life began with truth. Outside of truth, God is completely unable to do anything in you. Outside of a lie, Satan is completely unable to hinder you at all. Say wow. Say it upside down. All right, now listen. Now listen as I say this. Our issue is ignorance of truth. There are wonderful, wonderful people in the planet, born again Christians. You mentioned tongues, scare the mud out of them. They got in a church, the church stood up and told them it was of the devil, and they have no foundation, they have no scriptures for it, they have nothing. Bald face, unadulterated lie. Good people, dumb as rocks. When they walk through those doors, I'm endeavoring to show them things they don't know. But it makes them feel bad. Do you know how that made me feel? Don't care. Am I, how am I doing? Unless I can get truth in you, I can't help you. And I'm not doing it to be hard. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you what? There's no freedom outside truth. There is no freedom outside truth. So I'm not going to water truth down and milk it to you over a year. Was it Kansas that came and said, you're like raw? I went, is there another way? Never mind. I'm not talking about brutal. I'm talking about someone said, you tell it like it is. I said, you want me to tell it like it ain't? I don't understand that talk. Makes no sense to me. I'm thinking, good God, I got born again and someone told me truth. It thrilled me to no end to finally have someone tell me the truth. Amen. Tell me the by God truth. I want to know it. All right. Everything God is able to been do has been because of truth. What scripture did I tell you to go to? John 10:10. Go over there. The thief doesn't come except steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you'd have life and life more abundantly. Why would anyone on purpose want to just hear a lie? You have no way of combating a lie if you don't know the truth. So buy the truth and sell it not. Get it. No matter what it takes, get it. All right. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of what? Wow. Without him, can you know truth? You cannot. That is the truth. the more of him you have, the less dumb you'll be. I don't understand why y'all run aisles and jump pews and try it. Looks dumb to me. Me too. How am I doing? Listen, I'm trying to help us. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own authority, and whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll tell you things to come. This afternoon, I decided to go back in the archives and study John Calvin. Now, I know y'all are thinking, what for? Because most of the churches in this town are Calvinistic. Most of them are Calvinistic. Listen, I'm going to say something. And just John Calvin, in his day, was a good man. He fought against the Catholic Church selling salvation. What he preached was right. He preached justification was instant. And he came against the Catholic Church selling salvation, et cetera, et cetera. And he was a part of a reformation that changed the world. All of that is good. Yes. Do you understand that? But his doctrine of predestination, even in his own life, if you'll study him, it says he was a very depressed man. There are no perfect preachers. But who taught John Calvin what little he knew? Holy Spirit. Yes. Did he know everything? No. If John got it from Paul, why can't you get it from Paul yourself? Most churches get their theology from 1,500 theologians. The Holy Spirit will talk to you just like he did John. I'm not following Luther, John, Wigglesworth, or Hagen. I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Spirit of truth in me, and he'll teach me. Yes, he will. And he should. I'm not following Calvin. I'm not following Luther. I'm not following Wesley. Those men did the best they knew in the time they in with what they had, and they died with a lot they did not know. Great men. Billy Graham, great man. He does not know everything. Kenneth Hagin does not know everything. You don't know everything, but you have the Holy Ghost. You have a Bible. You have the Spirit of God. Quit reading some theologian from the 1500s and read your own Bible. You can get it right from Paul yourself. That's why there's a lot of goofy stuff. Most Christians never read their own Bible.
That's true.
I say that. Read your Bible, dummy. Read your Bible. The Holy Spirit can't help you if you don't fix your eyes on it. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, no, duh. Pray in tongues and read it. I'll guarantee you he'll talk to you. You'll be reading and go, whoa, my God, did you see that? And you'll feel like John Calvin. I got to write a book. John Calvin was trying his best to help his generation.
Yes, he was.
Did he get some things wrong? He did. Yeah, he did. He got some things really. But if you study it out, he really was struggling a lot with the fact that the Bible teaches sovereignty and it teaches free will.
Yes.
He struggled with the two of them.
Yeah.
And he died not understanding it. Now, quit getting your theology from a church where a guy studied Calvin and that's all you know.
Amen.
That's dumb. Yeah, that's pure dumb. Lisa told me when you say things like that, smile. Mark told me, says, preach happy. I'm talking about why we, American Christians, are struggling. There's too many people that are not actually reading this.
That's true.
Yes. Am I fair to say that? Yes. Okay, all right. Now, I'm just getting started. Go to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must, number one, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I'm going to answer a question, and I want you to fasten your seatbelts, and I'm going to say this. If the cabin pressure goes down, an airbag will fall out above your head. Place it on your nose before you do your child. Put the strap behind your head and don't wait for the bag to inflate. Number one question that I'm asked, and some of y'all have done it, and I'm not picking on you. Don't get mad. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, I've asked the question myself. Why? It is the single most asked question in Christianity. And I'm going to stop right now and say something to you. When you ask it, the snake is talking in your ear. Did God say? And you have to go, yes, he did. Now listen to me. Here's the difference. Here's the difference in Christianity in America. And I'm going to show you what it is. I preach that you are personally responsible for your walk with God and your knowledge of God. Other Christians are taught that it is God who is responsible. You never know what God will do. And we don't know why the Lord, and let me make a statement to you. If you're in a church, occasionally with your relatives at Christmas and Easter, and they bring up the message of God is using this to train you. And then you come in here, you're going to be confused all your life. Are you listening to me? And then you're going to say, why? Pastor, why did that happen? Well, I'm going to say it to you real lovingly. It isn't on his end. Settle it. Settle it. God did not lie or screw up. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Do I have all faith? No. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here with my left foot wrapped up. While you're asking me, why? Did you come in here with that? You're a man of faith. Why? The second thing that you're asking me when you say why is for me to interview you for 1 year and get into your brain and find out what you've been doing. I cannot answer your question. I don't know what you've been doing, not doing. you're shirking your responsibility. Now, I want you to admit something, and just let's all have a moment of humility. Don't we all like to be a little lazy?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for being humble for once in your life. If I can get someone else to get me my healing, I will pay you to get my healing. If I can get you to get me some revelation knowledge, I'll pay you to do it. But man, I mean, we are like, I know what to do, but how am I doing? If you don't do anything when you leave here tonight, at least admit, I am where I am because I am where I am. There isn't any condemnation. God doesn't love you more or less based on whether you can get healed from a broken foot over a week, a month, a year, or it takes you 20 years to do what would happen naturally. God doesn't care. Don't beat yourself up, but at least don't just stay where you are. If you're in third grade, go to fourth. If you're in fourth, go to fifth. Don't just stay where you are. Take a little responsibility for your own life.
Amen.
You and I are ignorant by choice. And we know things because of choice. A lot of us have made some really awesome choices, and you're way further than you've ever been in your life, and you should get kudos. But you're not where you're going to be next year by any stretch. You're going to next. I won't be here. Next, I'm moving on. In Jesus' name. That separates me from every preacher in this city. And you need to know that. So when they leave, and they're good people, they love God, they're dumb as rocks. And they leave. They don't want to be responsible. They want, you know, our pastor said it so lovely. All things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord and call to. I don't really know what he's doing, but I'll tell you, I just love him anyway. And I just know that God has a plan. That's a lie. Well, boy, is it a sweet one. Because you don't have to do squat. I'm going to change, and I want about another hour so bad. I'm going to go someplace right now that y'all don't even know anything about. Let me see right now. I got to find it in Jesus' name. Book of Job. God is talking to Job. Listen to what he says to Job. Who are you who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I'm going to question you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth? Tell me if you think you're so smart. Never mind. And then he says, shall the one contend with the Almighty correct him? Talking to Job. Listen to what else. Job says, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I'm laying my hand on my mouth. I answered you once and I ain't going to say nothing else. And then he said, would you annul my judgment and condemn me so you'll be justified? Don't you ever condemn God.
Amen.
Don't you ever blame God for where you are.
Amen.
We don't know why the Lord slap yourself upside your head. See, y'all know how quiet y'all. Y'all can get guilty real quick. Just say amen. Just say amen. It's okay. You'll live. Breathe. Grab the mask. Put it over your face. Breathe. Get some oxygen. But almost, there's too many Christians. When you say, why? You're questioning. What did God do? Darling, you know why. Don't air your in front of everybody your disobedience to God. Because it in him. What do you think you're asking? Because apparently he disappointed you. Right, Mike? Yeah. I've said it. I mean, I'm not. Y'all are looking terrible. I've gone to the Lord and went, why? That's where I learned some of this. He's going, what are you asking me for? You already know why. Now I wrote something else down here. Listen to this. Knowing what to do and doing what you know is not the same thing. That's the Holy Ghost gave me that. And I just, now that I ought to put that on a card. Matthew 7:24. Oh, I got time. Say this. You are doing good. I am doing good. I am doing good. Our nation and the Christians in order to have a move of God, are going to have to come back to the integrity of God. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Matthew 7, let's read verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them. With all the grace. Most of the time, we do not. You don't believe it because you heard it and mentally assented to it. The word believe is the English word by live. B-Y, live. Turn it around. It's what you live by. If you're not doing it, you don't believe it. Okay. That settles it, okay? Are we all right? I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, winds blew, beat the house, and did not fail because it was found on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, let me explain something to you. If you are living in the same earth everyone else is living in. You're not having a private hurricane. No. It's quiet in this Baptist church, but just listen to me. I want you to get this. He made a statement in the book of James. I got to read something to you. Now, just I got to walk every once in a while. I'm the healed. I'll walk if I want to. Listen to this. Listen to this. One ship goes east, another west, by the selfsame gale that blows. 'Tis not the gale, but the set of the sail that determines which way it goes. I'm going to explain it to you, and then I'm going to read it again. Where your life is going is your sail. It ain't got a thing to do with the wind and waves. Quit cursing the problems you're in. They are not the problem. This may be a little hard, but if you'll hear it and you'll go back to going, really all I need to do is do what he said. And everything will work. And if I don't, it won't. And when it doesn't, quit crying. Pastor, I didn't have a bad day. Well, doesn't the Bible say count it all joy? I know what it says, but you don't understand. I know the wind's blowing. Do you think you're the only person that ever had the wind blow? Why does the wind blow and one person count it all joy and you fall apart like a $2 suitcase? It's you. You think God lied. I mean, ain't no way in the world count it all joy would ever do anything any good. I want to have a pity party. I want to fall apart. One ship goes east, another west, by the self-same gale that blows. 'Tis not the gale, but the set of the sail that determines which way it goes. If you have not determined to count it all joy, you will not count it all joy. It's easy to count it all joy when everything's going good. It is not easy to count it all joy because you have to believe that God told the truth. And everybody will not know you're having a problem if you don't cry. I could stop right now and y'all are like, I think I can go home now. The other day after I broke my foot, I went home and got the book out, Lily B. Yeoman. She made a statement. She said, the greatest healing balm is joy.
Yes, that's good.
Happiness and joy has more to do with your health than anything else you do. And joy comes from understanding redemption, not what's happening. Happiness comes from what's happening. Joy comes from. So I went in the bedroom and I began to study redemption and just sat in a chair and sang. And I thought, okay, I got enough faith to sing right now. And that's all I've been doing. And I'm thinking, this is not hard. How you doing? Oh, you just don't know how bad the fall was. How you doing? I'm doing good. I love you, but you can't help me. And you would if you could. So I'm not telling you. I'm just going to sing a while. I sat home this afternoon, sang. I got some of Janie Grind's old music out. Poor Lisa. I can only imagine what I sound like when I can hear the music and all she can hear is my rasping, if any man is in Christ. She walks through the kitchen and goes, oh boy, you know. And I'm singing my heart out because I can hear the music. All she can hear is me. But a merry heart. A merry heart. Say it with me. A merry heart. Does good.
Like medicine.
Isn't that a whole lot better way to handle a situation than you say, how? I don't have any idea. It beats crying. All right. See, y'all are laughing again. That's good. I'm going to leave y'all right there. I think that's good. James 1. Go to James 1. Don't ever forget these scriptures. I want you to remember them. I want you to. Isn't it funny how we can read the Bible and 3 days later we can't remember what we just read?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that to you. I'm telling you, me too. I can read something and 3 days later I'm going,
where is that?
What was that I read? It was so good. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only.
Come
deceiving yourself. Anyone who hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror, which would be the word. And he observes and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This man will be blessed in his deeds. That's the only formula I can give you for life. That is the formula for life. And you're going to read it and study it, meditate on it every day of your life. Because you and I are going to deal with that snake until we die. Yeah. And we're going to deal with, did God say?
Yeah.
Am I doing all right?
Yeah.
Satan's never done anything good. James 1:17. Every good, every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, no shadow turning. He has never, ever, ever done you any harm. Now you have to believe that. He has never done you wrong. As a matter of fact, even when you were wrong, he was helping you. God is good. God is good. God is good. I like what I believe because it's the only thing that'll help you. I don't want someone else to be responsible for my life. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Isn't that good about the ship? Deuteronomy 30. Y'all have been fun to preach to tonight. I love to preach to hungry people. I want you to understand, I know you and I, all of us in here, we're all imperfect. Get over you being imperfect. Nobody's looking at that. You can have a perfect heart. And that's important. Stay hungry. When someone shows you something, say, I need to make an adjustment. Just be cool. Don't be so hard-headed that you can't learn anything. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. This is the commandment which I command you today. It's not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not up in heaven that you would say, who's going to go to heaven and bring it to us, that we can hear it and do it? The Bible is not that difficult. This is not some deep thing we preach. God is good. The devil is bad. All faith is acting on the word. Take responsibility for yourself. Do what he said. Now listen. Nor is it beyond the sea. Nor is it in Tulsa. Nor is it in Tampa. It's not in Jerusalem. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. You can get it right here tonight. You can get it right here. You don't have to be smart, good looking, or educated. You can get it right now. Anybody can do this. And you don't even have to be smart. He said, real simple. I'm like, it's real simple. Who's going to go to the sea and bring it back? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. So take the word of God, read it, put it in your mouth. Now that's another subject. Take it, read it, put it in your mouth. Take truth, put it in your mouth, Mike. How does it work? Don't know. Put it in your mouth. 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 Himself bore my sins in his own body on a tree. that I, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes I am healed. How? Don't care. I'm the believer. I'm not God. He's faithful. He performs, I believe. I do the easy part. He does the hard part. All I'm supposed to do is read it and say it. Say, what do you believe? I believe I'm healed. How you feel? None of your business. How am I doing? See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. This is good, isn't it? In that I command you to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, which is walk in love. Go back to 1 John. If you're not walking in love, everything I'm preaching won't work. Forget it. Why? That might be why. And his judgments, that you'll live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess. And if your heart turns away, you don't hear, you're not listening, you're drawing away from other gods, I announce you today, you'll perish, etc., etc. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose what? My question is this. Who is making this choice? That's right. Never forget it. Now, I say this, and I want you to listen to me. And all of us have done stupid stuff. I have too. And I made choices, and they were dumb. Okay? Listen, don't keep making dumb choices. If you say, but I don't know, your ignorance is a choice.
Yes, it is.
You are ignorant and you chose it.
Yeah.
So when you say why, my question is why don't you know? Because the Holy Spirit said he would teach you if you seek. So apparently you aren't looking lazy. That's why they don't like me. There's people that don't like me. They want to go back and say, we just don't know why the Lord allowed this in your life. But I'm believing with you, dear heart, the Lord loves you. Well, he does love you. But you might want to start making some right choices. You say, but I don't know which one. Well, I have a whole bookstore out there. You can buy a book and make some right. Learn something. I mean, if God can take a country boy from Georgia that knows one scripture, I think I learned a little bit in a few years. And I'm really not all that smart. I think if God could use me, he could use anybody. I have friends that are in ministry and they pastor denominational churches. I say nothing to them. They've made their choices. If they want to know something, they can ask me. They don't. It scares them to death to think that I might know more than they do. And I do. I don't care. They're going to heaven. They love Jesus. And when they get there, they'll say, why? And he'll say, I want you to go over there and talk to Dr. Morgan for a minute. He's going to answer that question for you. And is that the guy from Apopka, Jesus? It is. And he's got a class going on over there right now. And I want you to get in it because... Are y'all out there? Do you go home? Listen, this is good. This say this is good. I'm not staying where I am. There's a lot of things I right now don't know the answer to. I don't know the answer to everything. But I'm not blaming. I'm just going to go, okay, I'm going to find that out. Andrew Womack said something one day, I'm going to tell you something. His humility at least impresses me. And he, as a Baptist preacher, he buried a kid that him and the mama stood on the word and prayed, and the child died. At the funeral, he said, I was sorely tempted. And I went to the funeral, and during the funeral, I stood up and said, I don't know why the child died. We prayed. I don't know why. But I know this. It wasn't God. If it's anyone's fault, it's mine or the mother's. But we will find out. And I will not stay where I am. And he did not. Kudos. Kudos, Andrew. If you don't know something, just go, I'm going to find the answer to this. Okay. Y'all are doing good. Y'all, I love this. Y'all are... Blessing and cursing. Choose life. Both you and your descendants will live. That you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you'll dwell in the land the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Billy Graham's got a magazine called Decision. Yeah. Why? Because everything good that's ever going to happen to you is going to be a decision you made. Right. You decided to get saved, and you did. Yeah. You decided to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you did. You decided to come to church tonight, you did. You're making right choices. Amen. Keep making right choices. But I want you to understand something, that when the voice speaks to you, why do you think, just say, devil, let me tell you something. Let's just settle it. God did not lie. Now, I don't really know, but I'm not eating that tree. I got 1,500 acres of trees. I'm not hungry. And I may not know why he said, I just know he said no. So, you know. God has a big deal about you trusting him. I got two more minutes. Before I took this church, I had gone to Rhema, and I had given the Lord me. I'd given him my heart. I gave him everything. I went to Rhema, left Rhema, came to Orlando. I went through a divorce. I was going to Tom Copeland's church. Tom Copeland used to be Old Church of God, Pentecostal. And he'll admit what I'm going to tell you right now. He'll tell you this is true. They had a problem with me signing divorce papers. But the Lord said, sign the papers. And I obeyed God. People in the church did not agree with me. Didn't matter. People in the church aren't always right. You got to follow God. So anyway, later Tom came back and said, I need to apologize, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm driving down the road, and I'm going to work every day. And I've been praying, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And one day in the truck, he said, when are you going to do what I ask, what I want you to do? And he kind of aggravated me a little bit. Because I've been praying and asking him the same question. And he's throwing the question back at me. This is not right. What do you mean me? I mean, that's what I've been asking you. What do you want me to do? He said, when are you going to do what I want you to do? I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'll do it until you tell me what I'm going to do. I said, you've already caused me a lot of trouble. Can y'all understand that? Here I sit without a wife, without children, without a church, without any money. And you want me to trust you? Serious. He said, yes. I wept my guts out. And I bowed over that steering wheel and I said, yes, sir. I trust you. It's amazing, isn't it? I ain't telling you nothing until you tell me you'll do it. I went, no, no. Let me at least have a choice in the matter. God takes what he said very serious. Not everybody's doing what he said. Therein is the single biggest problem in Christianity. That's good preaching. Every day of our life, when you wake up, we're faced with, oh, Lord, not that scripture. Yeah. Every one of us in this room have something the Lord's going, I'm waiting on you. And you're like, I know what you said. Wow, really? Right, Kathy? He'll never violate your will. But he doesn't have to move until you do what he says. I did good tonight. Didn't this good? I want to pray together tonight. I want to pray. I want us to leave here tonight with this attitude. God has never told a lie. And he isn't the problem. If there's something I need to be making an adjustment on, could be just count it all joy. Worry is a sin. And the faster you go, I sinned today, Pastor. Good, at least we now got that straight. Father God, tonight has been a good night. The people sitting in this room, I can feel they're pulling the word of God out of me. They're drawing on you. This is where we live. There's things you're talking to us and all of us in this room, that's for sure. There are scriptures all of us still question. We question it. And you're good with us. You're so good with us. When it boils down to the fact that we're going to build our life on the Word, we got some choices we've got to make. If there's anybody in the room that's been blaming you, we repent of it. You didn't do us wrong. Maybe we just got some things we need to make some decisions. Maybe we got some choices. There's things we might need to make a few choices. Make some decisions. But the ones of us that are, praise God. We'll give you the glory and honor that you're patient with us. You don't condemn us when we make wrong decisions. You just pick us up and say, well, let's come back and let's do that one more time. We'll give you the glory, Father. We thank you. But like in the garden, we have an enemy that always questions you. As for me and my house, we turn a deaf ear to you, Satan. We don't question God. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. This is good, isn't it? The body of Christ today as a whole. All of us are in places because we have whole denominations that have picked sections of the Bible and went, we don't believe that. Why? He wasn't asking you your opinion. I didn't know being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues was a choice. I didn't know you had a choice in the matter. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, it's a flat out command. Did you know walking in love is a command? I know there's people you don't like. You're still commanded to love them. You're still commanded to bless them. You're commanded to forgive them. So get over it and do it. Woo! Now that you mention it, God is good. God is good. Never forget it. Y'all get out of here and have a good night. God bless every one of you.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.